Well, the Champions League is back for a new season and night one was pretty good. Cristiano Ronaldo scored for Manchester United, but they were beaten in Bern. You'll hear that dramatic young boys winner very shortly. The defending champions Chelsea got off to a winning start, so did Bayern, and there were four, yes, four penalties in the first half of Sevilla's match against Salzburg. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes or so. It is great to have the competition back for yet another season. Welcome along to the show. I'm Chris Parrott and we're going to be looking back on eight Super Games on night one of this season's group stage. I'm going to be joined by commentators John Bradley and Jonathan Beck, and we've got the European football expert Kevin Hatchard here as well. Kevin, evening, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic performance from young boys to get their win. I thought there was great goalkeeping, great centre-forward play, some extraordinary drama. We had red cards, we had penalties by the bucket load.
We had goals disallowed in the last minute.
This is what the Champions League's all about, high drama every single time.
We always think, oh, mate, we'll just ease in this season. No, not a bit of it. And actually, interestingly, we think we had some true global superstars on show in terms of the striking department. Romelu Lukaku, Cristiano Ronaldo, Robert Lewandowski, Thomas Müller, they all scored.
Yeah, and you look at the longevity and the consistency of these guys, and that's what really marks them out. It's okay to do it for one season, two seasons. If you're into 10 seasons of performing at this level, it's truly remarkable what these guys are able to do.
Kevin, you were alongside John Bradley for a compelling match between Chelsea and Zenit. The defending champions, John, I think a lot of people thought it would be far more straightforward than it was against the Russian champions.
I think so, and I think that, you know, everyone came along to see that their crowned heroes get off to a thumping start against a side that only took a point last season in the UEFA Champions League and has really struggled in the last couple of seasons at a time when there's been, it's almost a rethink of how they're working things in Russia after, you know, a strong period when CSKA and Zenit won the as then UEFA Cup in the mid-2000s, and then were getting through the group stages around 2010 to 2015, but really struggled over the last few years and struggled to take points. But Sergei Semak set his side up brilliantly well, and he changed the way that he did things. Wilmer Barrios, his anchor man in midfield, became a third centre-back. They played 5-4-1, and they closed the space. They didn't allow Chelsea in behind them, and it was only when they perhaps just tired a little that the space started to be found, and Chelsea were able to find that one goal they needed. But that one goal they needed would have been more had Artem Zuba taken that chance on the break, because what a chance it was. Great little counter-attack with Yerokhin to Sardar Azmoun. It went across the face of goal, and it was just the studs of Zuba that needed to be a little longer. And Zenit St. Petersburg would have had a really good point in West London this evening.
Yeah, Thomas Tuchel at full-time knew that his team had been in a real battle. Jonathan Beck was watching a far more straightforward victory for Bayern away at Barcelona. And if Julian Nagelsmann in his first Champions League match in charge wanted a noteworthy victory, he got it, right?
He did, yeah. I mean, it's never going to be straightforward, is it? Barcelona at home. They've not lost the opening home game of a group stage campaign ever in this tournament before tonight, but now that record has gone as well. 11 minutes before the break, Thomas Müller's shot flicked off Eric Garcia and wrong-footed Marc-Andre ter Stegen. 11 minutes after the break, the first of two other moments of luck. Jamal Musiala shot off the right-hand post, Robert Lewandowski prodded in the rebound, and then 5 minutes from time, Serge Gnabry did the same to the same upright. Lewandowski this time took it, controlled it, danced around Gerard Piqué and slammed it in off a sliding Ronald Araujo. They were the better side all night, Bayern. Barcelona didn't manage an effort on target, which will worry Ronald Koeman. Luke de Jong, on his debut for the club, was largely ineffective. He was withdrawn in the second period. There were obviously UEFA Champions League debuts for the club, from Memphis Depay, the main man, who wasn't able to create things And Barcelona looked a little lost at the end. Barcelona 0, Bayern 3.
Yeah, that was in Group E. Also finished 0-0 between Dynamo Kiev and Benfica, but that doesn't tell half the story. We'll get onto that match in a moment. There is so much to get through. In Group G, it finished Lille 0, Wolfsburg 0, and Sevilla 1, Salzburg 1. In Group H, we've told you about Chelsea's victory. Juventus were 3-0 winners away to Malmö. And in Group F, great game between Villarreal and Atalanta, finished 2-2. And one of the early matches finished in a surprise scoreline, because Manchester United began their campaign in Switzerland, where they took on the Swiss champions Young Boys. And this one was watched by Andy Brassel and Stephen Wyeth.
Manchester United going in search of it, and they have it. Cristiano Ronaldo has put Manchester United in front, tapping in after a cross from the left from Bruno Fernandes. Did you ever doubt that he would be the first goal scorer tonight? It is Young Boys 0, Manchester United 1. Cristiano Ronaldo has got it. Oh, now what's happened here? A very, very heavy challenge, and there's a Young Boys player down and in some discomfort. And the card is red for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Manchester United lead 1-0. But they will have to play 55 minutes tonight with 10 men. But here come Young Boys down the left. Elia, ball across the face of goal, touch towards goal, and in. There's the equaliser. They have been threatening it. And it's Mumi Nagamalu who has got Young Boys on terms against the 10 men of Manchester United. You can't say they don't deserve parity. Young Boys 1, Manchester United 1. Dying embers of the contest. Oh, it's a terrible back pass. They're in to win it. Young Boys have won it. A mistake punished. And Jordan Sibachu has won the game for Young Boys. Absolute jubilation around the Stadion Vangdorf. And what a huge, huge moment for the US international Jordan Sibachu, who has made it 2-1 to Young Boys.
Yeah, the celebrations were brilliant. The whole team, the whole bench ran onto the pitch, and with fans back making a brilliant noise at Stadion Vankdorf. That was as what we've missed in the Champions League for so long, a last-minute winner. Supporters love it, and that's exactly what the Young Boys fans got. David Wagner was on the pitch as well. He could barely believe it at the time, and afterwards he spoke in glowing terms about his team's performance.
A special night. A football club of our size, if they can have the headlines for 1 or 2 days in Europe, this is absolutely special. To beat Man United, one of the giants in European football, is something special. It's not about the result, which we can promise. It's about our style of game. We said before the game, we like to stick to our principles, play with intensity, aggression, togetherness. We will fight for every inch, and this is exactly what the players have done. It was amazing how they played this game. And as I said, I think at the end of the day, we have to say that it was deserved to beat them.
Yeah, the red card was a major turning point. That goal, timed at 94 minutes and 22 seconds, the latest in a Champions League match since Lucas Moura scored after 95 minutes and 1 second in the semi-final for Tottenham against Ajax in May 2019. It was dramatic. And David Wagner, who beat Manchester United in a shock scoreline when he was manager of Huddersfield in the English Premier League, masterminded another win, Kevin. And he's new in Bern. What a way to announce yourself and to get the supporters on side. I mean, they were anyway, but that's a remarkable win.
It really is, because it's not just huge for them, it's huge for Swiss football. Mm. And they've had to work ever so hard just to get into the group stage of the UEFA Champions League. They came through some nail-biting playoffs that were full of goals. And it's interesting because I think David Wagner wants to play attacking football in general. At times when he's been at clubs before, at Huddersfield, he had to be pragmatic at times. At Schalke, there's a story that when he arrived at Schalke, they had played safety-first football before he arrived, and he showed them lots of footage, and he kept stopping it and saying to the players, why didn't you play forward there? Why didn't you be more attacking? And then when things started to go wrong, he kind of had to go to a more safety-first approach. But in his heart, he's an attacking coach.
I was going to ask, because I think most people who saw his teams at Schalke and Huddersfield would have thought that perhaps he is a more pragmatic, let's just, we'll build from the back. But you think actually he wants to go the opposite way?
I think when he's at a club that can do, because you've got to bear in mind, when he's at Huddersfield, for example, nobody's expecting him to do what he does.
Yeah.
So he gets them promoted and then he keeps them up. And that's extraordinary to have done that. But with that goes with the territory is the fact that you're playing teams that are better than you most weeks, certainly in the Premier League. And with Schalke, he inherited a situation where they were really struggling and they were having to try and scrap their way through games. He's arrived at a young boys team that has dominated Swiss football in recent years, so he can play with that freedom. Mm. And once you've got into the Champions League, into the group stage, then you've kind of got carte blanche, because there's no point playing really defensively against the teams in this group. You might as well go for it. And in the end, those principles have been vindicated.
Yeah, and they will really believe now. 3 points is such a magnificent start. From Manchester United's point of view, we did see yet another goal for Cristiano Ronaldo. We saw perhaps, and I know it's only night one, but if there is an assist better than Bruno Fernandes' pass for Cristiano Ronaldo over the next 3 months, I'll be amazed. That was, we have to look back on that piece of play, because at that stage United were in control of the game. That was a joy to watch.
He's a tremendous footballer, Bruno Fernandes, because he can do it all. He can score goals himself, he can hit the ball from long range, but he's inventive and he's got that range of passing, he's got that impish ability to come up with something out of nothing. And the funny thing is, when Cristiano Ronaldo returned to Manchester United, one of the debates was, with Portugal, sometimes Bruno Fernandes has to take a bit of a back seat because of the way Ronaldo plays.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it goes sometimes. And people wondered, can they play together at Manchester United? Yeah, I think they can.
I think the last 4 or 5 days may well have proved that is the case. They'll be disappointed to have lost a game. And we can hear now from their head coach, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Discipline is a huge part of the game, and Aaron's normally a very, very astute tackler, one of the best in the world. So we know we've given ourselves a more difficult task than what we did last year, but everyone thought we were through after 2 games last year. You need 10, maybe 12 points. You need to win your home games, win one away from home. And of course, we've lost an opportunity to get 3 points, but we've got 2 home games next and we're going to focus on them too.
Yeah, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer knows exactly what United need to do now. Young Boys then winning that match by 2-1. The other game in this section always looked, Kevin, I mean, like it was going to be fun. It's Villarreal against Atalanta. It wasn't going to be 0-0. There were 4 goals. There was a red card. I don't know who will be more pleased with the point, frankly, but it lived up to the billing, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was tremendous. Two teams that like to attack. Some very well-taken goals as well. Certainly the finish from Trigueros was very nice, the way Freuler whacked his goal home. Dunjuma with a really good finish, actually, because that wasn't very easy. So, really good game. I think, though, both teams will be a little disappointed because they were in spells where they were in the ascendancy, and given what's happened with Manchester United in Switzerland, that was a great opportunity for one of those teams to jump 3 points ahead of the team that is the favourites to win this group. So I think United will look at that scoreline and think that's great because we're only 1 point behind those two, whereas it could have been a bit worse.
Yeah, it's true. Of course, that was the late game. I reckon United, if they got that news on the plane back to Manchester, probably pretty happy that that did finish level. Juan Musso, by the way, Atalanta's new goalkeeper, having signed from Udinese, was unbelievably good in that match, and he needed to be. I can't wait for that return match between Villarreal and Atalanta already. So that is Group F done and dusted. Group H is the section with the defending champions in it. Kevin, you're watching this match, Chelsea against Zenit, and in the end, it was decided by perhaps someone who we thought might just be on the score sheet.
Back inside to Kovacic. That's Azpilicueta. And that's Lukaku! Oh, that's a glorious goal! It's a beautifully flighted delivery from the Chelsea captain. And Lukaku, for the first time tonight, just finds a fraction of space and guides the header into the bottom corner of the Zenit St. Petersburg net. It's Chelsea 1, Zenit St. Petersburg 0.
John Bradley back with us, alongside myself, Chris Parrott and Kevin Hatchard. That's why they were so desperate to bring him back to the club, right? That moment Did they have that player last season that would have scored that goal?
It's a big question, that, isn't it?
I thought I'd stump you early on.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. It was a night where they were frustrated tonight, but when they got that one big chance, he took it. And it may well be that the younger Romelu Lukaku of previous Chelsea wouldn't have taken it. And I think that's the strides he's made as a footballer and a striker, that he just saw that opportunity. Just managed to get away from Kristy Akhov, who'd covered him so well all night. But that one moment where Chelsea just missed or managed just to find that one bit of quality, and Zenit just didn't manage to do their jobs that they'd done so well all night. And they'll look back on that, because Zenit will come round out of this and say, we didn't deserve to lose that game. And for the effort that they put into it and the chance they created late on as well, they might have a point, because there were two really good chances created in the game, one for each side. Chelsea took theirs. Now, Chelsea had a lot more efforts in the second half and were better in the second half. But if you were going to be brutally honest, you'd say that for the effort Zenit put in, you wouldn't have begrudged them taking a point away from Stamford Bridge.
I tell you what is different now with Lukaku in the team. He tires defenders out. It is so mentally and physically draining trying to deal with him for the entire 90 minutes. And Kristy Akhov did a brilliant job, because what a lot of defenders do is they want to get tight to him and they want to try and make it difficult for him. But what he does is he turns you or he pins you and you can't get anywhere near the ball, and then he'll play somebody in. But what Kristy Akhov did was he was just far enough away where Lukaku couldn't turn him. And so he was keeping him at arm's length, literally, for most of the game. But it's so difficult to do that for the entire 90. And I think that's what's different. Mm. He's a world-class striker anyway. We know that. I'm a massive fan of his. But I think that physical aspect is something they probably didn't have last season.
Do you know what? I was just thinking, it's a tough life being a defender, right? You can win 99 battles, but yep, the striker wins one and he goes at home happy and his team wins the match. And we can hear now from Chelsea's match winner Romelu Lukaku, who says he knew tonight he'd have to be patient.
I'm used to play against team with the back five, you know, playing in Italy, most of the teams play with the back five. So you know, at the end we agreed at halftime to do certain type of movements from the side, and you know, the ball from Asli was brilliant. I just had to get the timing right, and then I could pick a corner from there. We just have to look one game at a time. You know, we won last weekend, we won today, now we have to focus on the next game. But yeah, I'm very confident in this team. The work ethic is good, the ambition is there to progress all the time. So let's see.
Romelu Lukaku there. So he was happy, and his head coach Thomas Tuchel was pretty pleased too.
It's a very strong opponent, very good players individually to escape pressure. So we had to work really hard to have high ball recoveries, which we did. I felt a huge intensity from us that we brought actually to the game. Tried to keep the intensity high with, on and off the ball. And that took its time. We struggled a bit to create chances and shots in the first half. Second half was a bit easier for us to find little spaces. And we expected a tough one, because it's the highest competition in Europe and it's Russian champion. And so we had to be on our top level, and we're in a good place to improve.
Big win that for Chelsea, because elsewhere in Group H, Juventus are in the section two. This is a big section, along with Malmo. Juve 3-0 winners, Kevin, away in Sweden. Alexandra opening the scoring with a stooping header after 23 minutes. Paulo Dybala made it 2 from the spot on half-time. And then there was time for Alvaro Morata to poke home as well. Seen a quote from Dybala, because Juve came into the game after a poor start by their standards in Serie A. And he said that they played with serenity. And he said that we knew we came here after some bad results. So from a Juventus point of view, very important to get off to a winning start.
I think the game came at a good time for them. With all respect to Malmo, I think Juve would go into that knowing they were favourites and they had to play like favourites, and I think they did, had that game won by half time. You look at their performances in Serie A, a couple of them have been poor by their standards. Maybe they were a little bit unfortunate against Napoli at the weekend. Certainly they went 1-0 up and had chances to go further in front. The one thing that Max Allegri won't do, the coach, is panic. You know, he will have a very clear idea of what he needs to do to turn that team around, because they weren't able to retain the title last season. That will hurt. That will sting a lot of their players. It'll sting a lot of people at the club. So this, for me, was an important step forward for that football club.
So wins for Juventus and Chelsea in Group H. To Group E now, another heavyweight clash between Barcelona and Bayern. Jonathan Beck, watch this one.
They'll have to move a little quicker, Bayern, if they're to try and break this down. Müller on the edge of the area. It's wrong-footed and it's in. Thomas Müller does it again against Barcelona. And FC Bayern have the lead in the Nou Camp. Kimmich to Alphonso Davies, who lets fly, deflected. Musiala off the post, stabbed in on the rebound. And it's Robert Lewandowski, who else, who strikes for FC Bayern. Another stroke of luck has led to another Bayern goal. Barcelona cannot believe it again. Off the post from the initial shot and prodded home by Lewandowski. Barcelona have been neglectful with the ball. Coutinho has lost it. Gnabry hits the post. Can they profit on the rebound again? Lewandowski dancing through. Surely he has. Barcelona lose the ball and Bayern make them pay. It's two for Robert Lewandowski. It's three for FC Bayern. And with 5 minutes to go, Barcelona are now dead and buried.
Yeah, very comfortable in the end for Bayern. Some stats don't tell the story, but this one does, I think. Most goals in all competitions for clubs in Europe's Big Five league since the start of the 2019-20 season, OK? Robert Lewandowski, 112 goals. The next best is Kylian Mbappe and Cristiano Ronaldo on 76.
I mean, that's absurd, isn't it?
It's absurd. Jonathan, was it as comfortable as you made it sound in your commentary there?
Well, Barcelona had their moments. They did attack, and they did mainly look to play on the break, on the counter-attack, with bodies getting forward, Frenkie de Jong overlapping, and width from those wing-backs down the right and left, Sergio Roberto and Jordi Alba. But it just didn't work. They didn't manage to register an effort on target. Manuel Neuer had the quietest night he must ever have had against FC Barcelona. And Bayern struck when they needed to. You know, Lewandowski extended his club record run. That's now 18 matches in a row in all competitions he's scored in. Barcelona didn't have a bad record. You know, remember that 38-game unbeaten run at home till late last year? They've now lost the last three in a row at Camp Nou, conceding 10 and scoring only one. And the 3-5-2 that Ronald Koeman thought about doing for the first time this season and did to try and introduce some more defensive stability didn't really work. Yes, they got lucky, Bayern, with the efforts off the post from Musiala and Gnabry that Lewandowski was there to profit from, but he was there. That's the point. Mm. He was there in the right place at the right time. One, he prodded home. The second, he showed real composure to wait until the right moment to put it home. So Bayern continue their dominance. No revenge for Barcelona for that 8-2 defeat 13 months ago that really hurt and still reverberates around the club.
Kevin, I know you watch a lot of Bundesliga football, probably too much, actually, for what is healthy.
My wife might tell you that.
I was going to say, yes. Julian Nagelsmann, what have you made of his start? What has he changed? Has he changed anything at Bayern since coming in?
There have been little changes, but I think what's been very impressive is that he hasn't tried to change everything at once. He's taken over a team that under Hansi Flick had a very set way of playing. High defensive line, they would press. What Nagelsmann will bring to the table is a bit more tactical variation. But they will do that. They will still press. They will still take risks in defence. I have to say, I've been massively impressed with what he's done so far, because I thought they'd struggle in the first few weeks. I thought it would take a while for the players to really take on board what he wanted from them. I thought, given the fact that a lot of players were involved in the European Championship, they might start slowly. They started slowly in one game, and that was the 1-1 draw at Borussia Mönchengladbach on the opening weekend. But since then, they've been fabulous. They wiped the floor with Leipzig at the weekend, beat them 4-1. Just a point on Lewandowski, by the way. I've been watching him for many, many years now, as you have, Chris. I think at the age of 33, this is the best Lewandowski we've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen him this sharp. I don't think I've ever seen him this serene. I think he's a team player. I think he looks fit. I think he has ultimate belief in himself. I mean, he has done for years, but I think he's gone up a level. This is a guy that scored 41 Bundesliga goals last season.
He beat,
it's never, ever been done before.
The late, great Gerd Müller, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, extraordinary numbers coming out of Robert Lewandowski. Two more away at Barcelona. Elsewhere in that section, it finished Dynamo Kiev 0, Benfica 0. Kevin, you touched upon it, though, in stoppage time. Poor old Mykola Sharapinka. He hit the bar, and then he thought he'd scored with an excellent volley, only for the offside to be called. And it was marginal, it was correct. But that would have been 3 points for Dynamo Kiev. And in this section, alongside Barcelona and Bayern, would have been a massive first night win for Michail Lucescu's team.
Yeah, it would have. And he's a terrific player, actually, Sharapinka. I think he's technically really gifted, really exciting player to watch. But not for the first time in this competition. Odysseas Vlachodimos played superbly in goal for Benfica. I mean, you look at the way they dug in against PSV, and they really had to dig in against PSV in the playoffs. And Odysseas was absolutely superb in that game, made some really important stops in this one. Benfica will look at that and think, we got away with one there.
Yeah, totally did. But it's a good point away from home. Long trip, of course, to Kiev, and Benfica go back to Portugal with a 0-0 scoreline. Okay, in Group G, the final section we've not touched upon. In the late game, it finished Lille 0, Wolfsburg 0. Again, that didn't tell half the story. John Brooks was sent off for two bookable offences, the second for a deliberate handball. And then late on, first Jonathan David had a goal correctly disallowed because the ball went out of play in the build-up. But it did. And then they thought they had a penalty in the 97th minute. And again, Kevin, VAR took a look, and it was just outside the box.
I thought it was the perfect application of VAR. If you wanted to show somebody, why do we have this technology and why do we use it? There's the example I'd use. Because with the game on the line and a very tight decision, we ask referees to do extraordinary things. You know, in the heat of the moment, you've got to see all of these things. You've got to make these judgments that are infinitesimally small. Yeah. And yet, there's backup now. Mm. And somebody else can look at it and go, actually, it's just outside. And you've got fairness and you've got justice. Wolfsburg rode their luck in that game. They will look at that, another clean sheet for them.
Mark
and they
Bommel
will
looked,
think that's a great start.
He looked exhausted at the end.
Yeah.
Looked like he played again, let alone coached.
It's been an amazing start to the season for him, because there was a lot of scepticism and they got thrown out of the cup at the start of the season for using too many substitutes, and we wondered how he'd do. He's done brilliantly.
He certainly has. The other game in Group G, we've only got 2 minutes to speak about this. Sevilla 1, Salzburg 1 in the early
luck.
Game. I'm holding my head because I still can barely believe it happened. Two penalties were scored in the first half, and that was why it finished 1-1. Two penalties were missed. So Rakitic and Sucic scored. Sucic also missed one, and Adeyemi missed one. Salzburg had three penalties before Rakitic scored from the spot.
An amazing game, and all correctly given as well, by the way. And I thought Karim Adeyemi was brilliant. He won all three penalties. He's one to watch.
He certainly is. Had a great night, the full Germany international now. I'm going to ask you for your player of the night, Kevin. In all of the match, we have the player of the match is now presented by PlayStation. Romelu Lukaku has won it for Chelsea, example. But who caught your eye for the whole evening?
That's a really good question, actually. I'm going to go for a player on Zenit's team that lost, and I know that sounds silly because they lost, but I thought Claudinho was absolutely brilliant. He had great touches in possession, was willing to work hard and help out the rest of the team. I thought he was sensational.
John Bradley, apart from him and Romelu Lukaku, who caught your eye?
Mateo Kovacic, excellent. Dmitry Kristiakov as well, honourable mention.
Excellent stuff. OK, that's all we've got time for on the opening night of this season's Champions League. Remember to join us from 6 p.m. CST on Wednesday. We've got eight more games. Live commentary of Besiktas against Dortmund and Liverpool against Milan. What a match. Extended updates of Inter against Real Madrid as well. It's going to be a terrific second night of action if the first evening is anything to go by. Remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is a very good night after a superb start to this season's competition.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.